Warning, the following is the officially sanctioned podcast
about the show, about four lifelong friends
who compete to embarrass each other in public.
You know the one.
The official Impractical Jokers podcast.
Yeah!
Oh, yes!
We back. The official Impractical Jokers podcast. Thank you for tuning in. My name is Casey Jost.
I'm James McCarthy.
We have Danny House. We also have Joe Imbrosio. He's back. And Danny Green.
I'm back. I came back here again this week.
Me too.
But Danny, your title is sound. What's your title?
Audio supervisor?
Sound god.
I hear people say sound supervisor.
I've always said sound god.
I say captain of audio sometimes.
That's fun.
We can kind of make up our titles here, and I think you should, again, I say this every year, Danny, you should push for sound god.
Sound god, yeah.
We actually had a question last week of what IFB stands for.
Oh, God.
You're the guy to answer that.
It's like a news term. It's interruptible foldback.
That's
like,
correct. Wikipedia says interruptible foldback.
If you ever see the news person going like, oh, I'm here with the hurricane. I'm just getting in from the station. Then the winds and the floods are getting worse. I'm going to have to get out of here. That's in their ear. That's like the IFB, which is why when we talk about the earwig and they call it the IFB, sometimes there's confusion there.
It's the thing that the Joker has in his ear.
Yeah, sometimes they call that the IFB, but we call it the earwig, which is where the confusion comes from.
That's so cool. Well, thanks for joining the podcast. You're already giving us information we've never had.
Yeah, yeah.
We should have had you a long time ago.
Yeah, what's
people,
the deal?
People know you pretty well from, like, you know, a lot of fans know who you are because the guys, since season one, you and I have been on since season one.
Correct.
We were, like, running cable for the cameras.
You're running
and the
video
audio.
Cables, yeah.
Yeah, and now look at us.
We're doing a podcast, and yeah. I've had a picture drawn of me of a fan.
Yeah.
I was with Jeff Sellis the other day working on some donut project with him, and that came up.
Wait, what?
There's something about, he's doing a thing with this donut project store, like sort of a mockumentary thing. We were working on it.
Oh, great.
And I'll show you the picture. I don't think it looks very much like me, but Jeff and I were together when it came up.
That's cute.
It's the lady who draws the
pictures. There's somebody who draws photos of like all the staff and crew.
Yeah, if you want to check them out, you can check out her Instagram. I think it's called Click and Tuna. Click, K-L-I-K, and Tuna. You can check it out there.
But yeah. So, Danny, thanks for joining us.
Yes. Thank you guys for having me.
Very fun.
And it's good to hear that Jeff Sellis is still alive after we scared him to death, basically, with Carly's prank call.
He told me about that, and I had to stop him. I go, I already heard it. I already know about it.
Yeah,
wow. That's right. You said that you have a little surprise for us?
I brought some beers with me. I'm a little better at talking when I've had a beer or two in me.
This is classic Hollis.
Well, I just want to make sure we're all comfortable. You know, I don't normally do stuff like this. So,
Hollis, you are sort of like if there were like Greek gods, you're like the Dionysian god that like of the parties. Like you're the god of rap parties.
Well,
we were at the finale taping. At the St. George Theater in Staten Island, and Danny had just a backpack full of Heinekens.
It was actually Allie Lane's purse.
That's right. It was a woman's purse.
We had to empty it out. And
She's the line producer and like kind of the HR department, and she's sneaking beers into an old venue.
Well, Danny was.
Well, she lent me the purse to do it, and then as we opened them, they were all shook up and they exploded all over her purse. So we had to give it back to her about an hour later.
It was nice, too.
Yeah, she was.
That's funny.
Long she was okay shot. With it.
Yeah. But yeah, you bring the party.
Well, I like to party, you know? I like to have a good
time. All right,
time.
Let's hear a nice chuck. Go ahead. You can rip those headphones off. You're the sound guy.
Open it right into the mic.
What would the other jokers be if there were other Greek gods?
Oh,
Joe Gatto's probably Zeus, I think. He kind of keeps the ship running. He's like the
I feel like
thunder.
Yeah, I feel
also he rips that fart.
Who's like the little one? The young one? Like
Hermes,
that's Mer.
Oh yeah, very fleet of foot.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm going.
Did that marathon? Of course.
I'm going Sal Aphrodite.
Oh, beautiful.
We're all thinking that.
Yeah, he's a gorgeous man. That's Val Volcana.
Q, probably Hades.
Oh, the underworld.
Yeah.
Death, destruction, diarrhea.
That's not Q's song, but
it could have been.
Could have been.
That's the song of the underworld. That is. Thank you very much. Oh. Very nice. An October.
I'm good actually on the beer. I haven't been doing beer. But Joe will have one. Joe will have mine.
I don't want one either.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
It's nice having a little beer crack. That's fun.
See you, Hollis.
It's good. Yeah.
Danny Green, you want one?
I'm good.
Okay.
All right.
Well, we'll just look like the mid afternoon.
I don't really drink beer either.
What?
You don't?
No, not really.
Since when? You just talked about how we cracked open all those beers at the finale.
Yeah, that's the last time I drank it. Before that, I don't know when.
It was a week ago.
Yeah. What about at McSorley's?
That's right. We did that too. I try not to drink beer.
Yeah, you can't say that.
I drank beer with you twice in the last month and I never see you.
All right. I get it.
We're like hard liquor boys.
You drank a beer before Hollis got in here.
I had way too many Manhattans the other night. I'm just like still recovering.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's jump into the episode, huh?
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So the first thing up was Teacher's Pest was the name of it. What we called it, New Education Plan.
That's right.
And this is exciting to have Danny Green here.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thank you for inviting
me. Even though your last name is Green,
yeah,
you played a vanilla clown.
That's the range of my acting, is that just because my name is Green doesn't mean I can only play green characters. I'm really trying to move to other colors.
Such as?
Yeah, you're a hero for all the greens out there.
Here's the question. Do you guys remember when we came up with Vanilla Clown?
100%. We're in the comedy producer's room. And Casey, you said Vanilla Cloud.
I said Vanilla Cloud.
In reference to what?
I think it was a bit maybe like for maybe a different presentation bit, like where it was just like a vanilla cloud. And then
what could that even have meant, though? What's a vanilla cloud?
I don't know. I think it was something maybe for the theme park thing that we're going to have next season.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
I think. And then John Zaluga, I think, said, did you say vanilla clown? And then we just went crazy on that.
No, it's actually me. It wasn't Zaluga.
Oh, it was you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I give John Zaluga from the Super Live Adventure podcast a lot of credit where it's due, but that was me mishearing Vanilla Clown. And then we just started riffing about what a Vanilla Clown would be.
And immediately we were like, it has to be Danny Green that plays Vanilla Clown.
Why? Why did you want me to play? I'm glad you did.
You're unleashed.
Yeah, you're unleashed. You're halfway there. You got that beautiful salt and pepper.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're immortal. And so you're white like a ghost.
Oh.
To be honest, what I thought Vanilla Clown would be is not even the performance you brought.
Thank you.
Because
it was great.
It's incredible, right?
Yeah. To that point, none of us really knew what it was going to be. We just had the image of Vanilla Clown, and then we get to set and they're like, cool. The audio department and the sound god need to mic up Vanilla Clown because the guys are going to want him to speak, we assume. And we're like, oh, we never thought about this actually ever happening.
I know, but he's Vanilla Clown, not Vanilla Mime. He could speak.
It's true.
And Danny, as an audio person, did you expect that volume?
No, I didn't know. I don't know if we talked about what you were going to do or
I didn't really know. I just got the set.
Yeah.
And Casey and James and John Zaluga said, wear this white clown costume. Yeah. So there was a wig. Danye put me in like a white jumpsuit, gave me white gloves. Lily Beth put a lot of white makeup on my face, gave me a white nose. And they just said,
well, that's also one of the best parts. They didn't give you a white nose at first.
Oh, no.
They gave you a red nose. And all the different comedy producers saw you at different points and go, why is he wearing a red nose?
We were adamant that nose become white.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's a vanilla clown.
Like, I just love that we're all on board. Again, this is like a dream for us that became a reality.
The other conversation we had was completely sidetracked by like the description of Vanilla Clown, which we tried to force into other bits, but we couldn't. Do you remember when I asked you if you would play it?
Yes.
I was like, would you play a character named Vanilla Clown? I thought it could go either way. I thought maybe you'd say no.
Why would I say no?
I don't know, because like, I don't know, you have a reputation.
Very difficult to work with.
No, like you, no. I mean, like you're mild mannered.
Yeah,
right. Most of the time,
right.
But you were really unleashed in this bit.
We also, I mean, there was a version of Vanilla Clown that I think was like crucified at a party or something.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, maybe that's what we were doing, because there's another bit too that we're doing next season that we might be doing. But yeah, it's hard to remember sometimes.
And who knows where Vanilla Clown will show up next. I don't think this has to be the end of Vanilla Clown.
Yeah, I hope not.
I hope not.
I hope it's going to be a Halloween costume for a lot of people.
Which of the teacher turns did you like more?
Oh.
The one that I was in?
Yeah,
me too. I think that was the best one. Yeah.
Do you think you're biased at all?
100%.
Yeah. Okay, good. Me too. Yeah, that was fun. I mean, that was that room, which is the room that like was sort of like unbelievably in on it.
You mean the room that couldn't hold it together at all?
Yeah.
That was with Joe and Murr.
Right.
Because they had one of the greatest marks of the season. That guy, Al, was one of the nicest guys. He had a big, like, volcanic laugh and was just like,
I'm mortified.
He was calling out how insane everything was. I'm sure a lot of it got cut out of the show. But when the guys are pitching, like, all these dumb ideas, like, the new grading system with like the heart is a B.
Yep. Eggplant.
And like an eggplant is a D. And he's like, what? He's like, and like, he's calling it out. He's like, you can't have that. And like another lady brought up the reason why, where it's like,
so you want to take that eggplant out?
Yeah.
Because that emoji with the teenage crew, young adult crew, is
the vegetables. So you give this idea an eggplant emoji right now?
Totally.
Got it. This is total eggplant.
And the guys all play it. I'm like, oh no. So kids don't want to get the D though. And like, and they're like, yeah, I guess you're right. But he was just calling it out left and right.
I know, he's great. I love
with
also,
a smile on his face.
All the people in that room were great. Even the guy who was on his phone the whole time, who raised his hand that he learned something.
Yeah.
That was incredible.
He's like, yeah, I think I learned something.
I remember one of those groups was really unruly. That must have been the one, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That, no, it's funny. On set that day, I like forgot to eat. And then like I finally got some food during, I think, that turn.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, whole just putting the whole thing down my throat at the time, so I was like laughing and just like basically like chugging meat. It was pretty insane. Give you that visual.
The backstage was wild because we had Vanilla Clown running around, and then McCarthy was recording an Amelia Earhart rap all in the back room.
Oh, right, that's right.
Yeah,
all of that was to be kept secret.
Amelia Earhart rap was great.
Well, the funny thing about that is we helped the guys that come up with all these ideas, and there was one bit about having a like this
a Hamilton
the teacher
style.
Sing.
Yeah, I did that.
But there wasn't a song with
right.
it. And so Sal's like, oh, can you go make a song real quick?
Right.
So I'm like, sure.
Yo.
Here it is.
Put your right hand up. Amelia Earhart. Not confused with Helen Keller. Amelia Earhart. No one can do it better. Amelia Earhart rides high in the cockpit. Amelia Earhart. One bad bitch. And Amelia Earhart. Got rich. Amelia Earhart, her middle name was Mary, and she died because she was scared of flying.
Again,
you have this background.
NYU degree in history.
Oh, beyond that, Three Kings member.
Three Kings degree.
Three Kings was a parody rap group.
Parody rap. So I'm like, all right, let's do it. Found a beat, downloaded it off the internet for whatever it is, royalty free, and then just did 16 takes of the Amelia Earhart rap.
I like when other people do the music. So sometimes I'll do the songs on the shows, and I like when you and Joe do it. We got to get Zaluga to do a song.
We do. That would be great.
Yeah. Rico has even her voice has been featured on songs, Megan Rico.
Yeah. I feel like Kim Congdon doing like, she'll drop in like a little Kim.
Big time.
And like get some raps on there next season.
Yeah. But where did you get the beat? I would have made it for you.
We didn't have the time. Yeah. Oh, actually, I guess we probably did have the time, but you were probably working on something else.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. Whenever there's a presentation bit, it's an insane day because the guys will look at the PowerPoint in the morning and will make edits with us, and then they'll tell us more jokes and stuff that they want, and we'll have to go run off and do them. So like all of us are like running and like making the jokes, punching them up, like making it look clean. And also, it's like the only time in our lives we've ever used PowerPoint. And so it's like
once a year.
Yeah, if we just need to hire like one person that worked at a real company, and it's like, can you help these guys with PowerPoint? And it would make our day a lot easier.
And the way that they usually goes is like you were with Q and Sal, and me and Joe were with Murr and
Joe.
Yep, that's right. Me and Lugie were with Sal and Q.
Lugie as in John Zaluga.
Yeah.
That's his name. What are days like that for you, Danny? Like, is that a pretty easy day?
Those are easy days for me generally. Like, you put the mics on the table. I'm usually watching you guys run around frantically as they change the jokes, or there's some sort of secret going on where you have to go wire up the Vanilla Clown in a back room and not talk about the Vanilla Clown.
Mm-hmm.
They're usually not too bad for us.
Yeah.
I love them. Yeah. Well,
what's a hard day for you?
All the vehicle stuff. We used to do a lot more vehicles, like boats and taxi cabs and Jurassic Park and helicopters. That's the kind of stuff that like turned all my hair gray.
Really quiet there. Like Jurassic Park and helicopters. It's like, oh yeah.
It's just like, that's rough. But like, they walk into a room and like, there's not a lot. It's not too bad.
Do you like the street?
Like street days?
It
depends. Some of them are, we used to have the days where they'd be like quick days, 5-6 hours, like down in Bowling Green.
You don't have to run cables, so it's probably an easy finish.
Well, we used to not run them, and then it kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger and more people. And then we started having to run cables through, like, the park and stuff like that. And it just takes a lot of time. And, you know, we usually do them in the summer, and it's super hot, and you're just sort of drenched out there. But, yeah, it just depends on the day, really.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's an easier day, there is, or like, the day with Joe's dogs in the park, like, a lot of moving pieces with the Jokers walking in and out, those become difficult.
Where did you put the mics on the dogs?
In the collar.
That was a joke question, and there was a real answer to it.
Danny's all business.
We put a cup. I forget that day. There was something about, like, you had to find out the name of the dog. Right, and then they would put the cup right near the person, and then the other joker would walk up and be like, "What's that dog's name?" And it'd be called like Buyer's Remorse or something, like
Love or something. Yeah,
yeah, like something really great. Yeah,
like you're all business. You're very professional. You're like, yeah, I'm just worried about the sound. Like the gameplay was like whatever. They got to get the name of the dog or something. Like that's like a real TV professional. They don't care about whatever is going on as long as their end is getting done. And it's always done well.
You should hear me try to explain it to the sound team when they show up. It's just like I'm like looking at the call sheet, reading line for line. Okay, one joker has to do this, and then another
joker.
That's
funny. I never even thought about that.
Yeah, I mean, because I know generally, but it's like I don't have like the creative in front of me. I'm not like having every joke because they're going to choose different jokes based on what we're doing. And I just like, okay, guys, and I just literally read it word for word. I'm like, any questions? And then there's usually none. run the cables over there, and then they do. Yeah. That's great.
So when the show started, the person in charge was Michael Bergman.
Yes, Michael Bergman.
Right.
Master Bergman.
He's great. I love that guy.
He's amazing.
So now you're the Michael Bergman. Do you have, like, you Michael Bergman had cronies such as you, or I even helped run the audio cable, and he was very particular about that.
You ran one backwards one time. I remember that.
Yeah, I did.
You run it the other. Because I've done the same thing, and I go, no, but we got the barrels or whatever. He's like, I don't care. Run it again. Like, now you'll remember, won't you? So,
yeah.
You know, it makes sense. I do it to people who work for me now.
So you do. So you get to do that now.
Yeah. I say, well, now you'll remember. Run it the right way.
Oh, that's so cool to have, like, a person like Michael Bergman, like, show you the ropes like that.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah.
I owe a lot to him. He was the original sound supervisor of this show.
I really like that. If I'd ask a question, he'd, like, give me, like, a real in-depth answer to it.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah. He was a really smart guy.
I don't do that. I say, magic, probably.
He played in the band, too. He played bass?
He played
guitar.
Did
he play with Keanu Reeves?
I don't think so.
Dogstar?
I thought maybe he played with Dogstar.
He had, like, a band that was, like, doing Arlene's Grocery and stuff like that when it was big. Like, he was doing it.
I know.
Like, he was in it.
And you play, so you've played in several bands. Our bands used to play together sometimes.
Back in the day.
Yeah. Danny Hollis and the Dicks, right?
Stupid Danny Hollis and the Dicks.
That was the fake name that the Jokers gave to your band.
They made t-shirts, right?
Yeah. One of our production assistants, I don't know, what was her job?
Who?
I don't know, fuck, Tina?
Tina, yeah. Was she a segment producer at one point? Who?
She was a PA for a while.
She was a PA for a while.
She moved up to something else. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, maybe she did locations,
Tina
too.
Tina Santamira. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, she made t-shirts with a horrible picture of my face on it. Then when it was bad, I was wearing like a chain. It's like wearing Mooney's chain or something like that. I don't know if you know Mooney.
Chains make people look good.
But she gave all these shirts to people. Like I was playing a show one night in Brooklyn. She gave shirts to all the people in the audience
from the show
who came. And they're all wearing their normal clothes over the shirt. And then like 3/4 of the way through the set, they take off like their outerwear and they're wearing these horrible, stupid Danny Hollis and the Dick shirts. My band is all from D.C. And
what's the real name of that band?
Hearts and Spades.
Nice.
Yeah.
How did your band members take it? Because they don't.
They were thoroughly confused. They were like, what is. And then they gave shirts to my band members. And they're all like, we used to work over like in this sort of garment district. And the girl who bought all the shirts were all these like tiny little V-necks and like odd sizes and like, you know, like seconds that didn't really work. So she just gave a bunch out and nothing fit. Like the ones I have are like 2XLs.
2XL. Danny Green, do you play music?
I play the accordion.
So everyone in this room is a musician.
Yeah.
You play the accordion for real?
Yeah.
What would that band be?
Danny Green delivers again.
I know.
Oh my God.
So you're going to play accordion.
Yeah.
Danny Hollis, you'll play drums.
And drums, yeah.
But that's tough because that was your instrument too.
Yeah, but and I'm also rap. Not even good at it. I can play timpani. We'll do that. I'm classically trained.
I honestly think you should either do timpani and rap.
Yeah, I'll do that. Okay. Just put me on the temps.
So I feel like Vanilla Clown has to have an accordion next time. I mean, that would be incredible.
Is it white?
My accordion is black. I think I have two or three.
One we're spray painting it.
Paint it white.
Spray paint your recording.
We're going to make the black keys on it white, too.
Everything's white. And then you're going to sing a parody version of Paint It Black called Paint It Vanilla.
There is a white door. I want to keep it white.
Just vanilla doors. I got to keep them white.
Oh man, that's great. That writes itself.
You got it.
Vanilla Doors is a good name for a band, Danny, if you ever want to start a new one.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
Vanilla Doors.
Yeah.
That's the name of this band, I think.
Great.
I like that Vanilla Clown's in the band. Like, it's all of us, like, as us, and then but, like, he's also, like, on the side. Like, so we all look normal. We're wearing our, like, regular t-shirts, and he's Vanilla Clown.
Well, that's how, like, how Richard Belzer plays that one character on, like...
Munch, Detective Munch.
Detective Munch on, like, 1,000 different TV shows.
Yeah.
Like, what are a few in Bergio? You know this, right?
He was in Arrested Development. He's in Homicide. He's in Law & Order. He's in something else. I mean, he's... It's just, like, weird. He's, like, in a ton of stuff.
Yeah, and he's always Detective Munch. That's what I want Vanilla Clown to be.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, Vanilla Clown and Rob Emmer need to meet in a scene.
Wow. Probably at the apocalypse. That's, like,
the end.
Yeah, that's the Earth finale, not even Joker's finale.
If we could make, the series finale be...
The apocalypse?
No, just be Danny Green as Vanilla Clown and Rob Emmer as one of his guys, Fat Crow, and, like, they do all the challenges.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I just imagine them watching the Jokers fly off in a plane that crashes into the sun, and they walk back and they say, I think this is going to be the start of a beautiful friendship.
And they hook up. They French kiss, like, but their lips don't touch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Dude, and, like, Vanilla, that's when we find out Vanilla Clown's tongue is also white.
We don't find out until then.
They finally reveal that. Fans have been dying to know.
Wow. Okay, so then the next bit...
We could do a whole episode of Jokers without talking about the four guys. It's only Vanilla Clown.
I know. This next challenge was this ping it. What was it called?
Pin for the win.
Pin for the win. And what I like about this is a challenge that's set up with the guys being like, Joe and Sal are always like, we want to go against each other again just to see who wins this.
It's so funny.
I love that.
It's so funny to me. I like it too. I wonder if the fans do. I never know if they care about that sort of stuff. Like where it was like, a couple of seasons ago, our season premiere where Murr and Sal had the race and Murr was in the fat suit. And it was always like, we've always had this bet that if he weighed as much as me, like I'd beat him in a race. Like they always talk about that. And I never know what the fans think, but like for us, that's like the goal because the guys do talk about this.
Yeah, it's for real.
And we're letting them in on some of that. But yeah, it was a fun bit. And again, it really fun for us. Hopefully that translates across to the masses.
I think it does. I think when the guys are really into something, it's like addictive. Like fans like also like it.
Yeah.
It's like they cultivate that kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely.
It's authentic.
Are they as competitive as they seem on the show? I mean, you guys spend more time with them.
No. I would say they're definitely like I've known friends that are competitive.
Right.
And they're not like competitive as friends. They're competitive for the show. For sure.
Right.
Like Joe is competitive. Like he wants to win or like Q really wanted to win Fly Me to Balloon because it was a game that he kind of found because it's from the firehouse.
Right.
And Joe also wants to win. No, he loves to win is a debate. The
sudden death debate.
He Murders always wants to win that.
Could you help us settle a debate real quick? We're having this debate all day.
All day. What's the better way to die?
What's the better way to die?
I'd rather get kicked to death by a giraffe.
I say get kicked to death by a giraffe.
Q, I'd rather get trapped by a bunch of celery.
I'd rather get trapped under a big piece of celery and die that way.
All day. Right, all day.
Giraffe
all day.
Right.
Giraffe, they got the long legs. That hook is going to come in and just conk you.
Like a giant piece of celery just...
Yes. It's like, you know, the giraffe's walking along doing its thing. They get you one good punch.
If the celery falls on you, you can live in it like for a tunnel for a while.
If you're ultimately going to die under this...
Let's not rush to death, people.
How much celery can I eat to get out?
Celery does have fiber, so you're going to be...
And it does have water.
So you know it doesn't have fiber or water in it? A giraffe hoof right to the face.
Oh, my God.
You want to go? You want to go. You want the giraffe.
You don't want to be trapped in a giant's garden under his piece of celery? That's not how you want to go?
You want the giraffe to come in hot and just keep pounding you. Comes up.
That's great,
Death by giraffe.
Yes, death by giraffe. Sorry, buddy.
We're really like log lines, and he's like TV exec, so he like gets competitive about that one.
So the first TV show. Pantsed. Famous people pantsing other celebrities. Side note, hopefully no dongs fall out. But if they do, we'll blur them.
So they are, they're each competitive about different things. Oh, Sal was very competitive for Nah Dog, That Ain't Me.
Yeah, all right, bro. Whatever. Yeah.
He looks just like him. He's got spray tan.
Hold on a sec.
I think you're already here.
Ah!
Nah, dog, that ain't me.
What up? My name's Vin. My friends call me Balsamic Vin.
Yeah, you're also Sal.
Vin.
You idiot! You she said cool drop. That's the game. You're done.
I had so many more outfits.
Yeah, I know. If it's a don't laugh game, he's done.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's why he gets competitive about it, because everyone says that. Everyone thinks, like, he can't win, and it's true.
Yeah, and, like, on different things they get competitive, but they're not competitive with each other in that way.
Yeah, as friends, yeah, which is amazing.
Yeah, like, and Q has said that a bunch of times. He's like, sometimes if he loses and Joe wins, he's like, oh, that's okay, I like Joe. He's like, yeah, he's like, that's good. Funny. He's like, oh, good, Joe won.
Does this count, though? I feel like they're always making bets with each other, like, for real.
Well, yeah,
whether it makes the show or not, they're, like, actually putting money on things.
Oh, yeah, Joe's a big gambler, too.
Yeah.
But that's not necessarily
not just
competitive.
Him.
That's, like, for excitement.
I guess so, yeah.
They're never like, oh, Joe got a house? I need to get a house. You know what I mean? Like, I want to get a house. Like, they're not like that. Like, those kind of friends that are like...
Yeah, the band's not breaking up because of that.
Right, right. It's probably because of something else.
Probably
because
Vanilla Clown slept with Myrrh. And then
and they all got jealous.
Everybody else got jealous because, like, yeah, everyone's like pining for a Vanilla Clown.
Yeah.
That, pining.
And the mythical white tongue.
All right, next challenge.
Where is it?
Next challenge.
Krav Maga.
Krav Maga.
Oh,
and it turned into the punishment.
God. Yeah.
Yeah, Jamie, that guy is awesome. Randy Couture. And he was the nicest guy. You're a big UFC fan?
Yeah, I used to watch that guy back in the day. And he's like,
he was the best.
When I heard he was coming on, I was pretty
excited. He was so nice and cool.
If you don't know who he is on the show, like, go on YouTube, watch a Randy Couture highlight clip. Yeah. He's like a monster when he wants to be, and the nicest guy when he wants to be. But yeah, he can fight.
Joe's got a little
No, it's just fun. I kept trying to, like, say something and I couldn't get it in.
Little hyena.
I was going to ask Kyle, so you got to touch Randy Couture?
I got my arm around him, yeah.
Yeah, you got to touch his chest, huh?
Oh, no, I didn't get to put the mic on.
Oh, right, because jealous. We had interesting. Oh, we had a mic for Insider, right?
No, we had a Lucas Lee, our A2.
Oh, yeah.
That was the day half of us were in the basement for the control room.
Yeah.
And the Jokers were in an RV.
Oh, here's the behind the scenes for you right now. That was an empty... Where, like,
dude.
Empty space that we need to... We built that Krav Maga studio to make it look real because, you
what
know, sometimes
nightmare.
We pair up with, like, maybe, like, a karate place or something.
Yeah.
And this was, like, an empty room, and our art department got all that stuff and made it look legit, and people thought it was a real studio.
Yeah.
And it kind of... It was paired up in a way with, like, real professionals,
dude,
but...
Yeah. The whole thing was a nightmare. So locations, like, months ago... We're like, we found a Krav Maga place. They're remodeling. But if once it's done, it's going to be great for the show. And I remember pitching it to the guys. And they're like, wait, what did you just say? What's Krav Maga? And if you notice in the episode, they say Krav Maga like 1,000 times. Because they're like, I don't know what it is. I think it's like hysterical. Like, they're just like, it's like a dumb word. They kept like saying it nonstop. And I was like, no, it's good. And they're like, we already did like a Taekwondo thing. Once I explained it to them, like, but it's not like Taekwondo. It's like this Israeli martial arts. And like, I had to like show them like the Wikipedia page, like all this other stuff. They're like, I'm like, please, let's do it. You guys like, and then they came around to it and they thought like, oh, this will be funny. That'll be funny. And they're like, finally, like, okay, McCarth, let's do it. And like, Ian McPartland, go back to locations. Like, we're in, let's go. And then the place wasn't finished. By the time we, like, they're like, it would get, like, the date, like, anything. If you ever got work done in your house, always gets pushed back. Same thing, except we had a deadline for our show. And the guys, like, already agreed to do it. And, like, all right, fine. Then, yeah, the art department came in and made a place that is not a viable option. Like, a great looking.
Yeah. They knocked it out of the park.
Not a dojo, but whatever you call it for Krav Maga.
Dojo works.
Yeah. I think it works.
I have a question for Danny about that bit. On camera, Joe farted. And if memory serves, that's the first on-camera fart the show. No?
No way. There's plenty of times.
I'm not saying they haven't farted during the shooting of the show, but that made it to the final episode.
And he's not talking about an SBD where Joe goes in the corner and has a look on his face and he goes, don't worry about me.
No, we have Danny Hollis on the show, so it doesn't make any sense to talk about SBDs.
Vanilla.
You still here.
Vanilla,
you're
what
still
are
here.
You doing? Vanilla.
Is there a lot of farting that goes on?
You know what? Not that I can think of. Uh-huh. Where I'm at, I can only see the guy on the floor. I can usually not see the three guys in BTS.
Right.
And
but you can hear the farts.
Murr farts a lot where he walks away and he goes, Murr will walk away and be like, oh, I have to check something out over here. Oh, what kind of wood is this? And like look at a wall, but then he makes it like that. It makes it very obvious he's like farting, but like trying to be polite.
Murr farts a lot.
Yeah.
Is he the worst farter on the show?
I think so. To be honest,
rank them, Case.
Okay, number one, Vanilla. Number two, Emmer. Number three, Murr.
You know what? There was a fart on the turquoise ring one.
Yes, uh-huh.
Yes.
Gatto walked in because they had left some sort of toilet in there, which is, I don't know, was it just an empty toilet?
It was a toilet that was the only toilet that they could use.
It was like a little porta potty,
almost like a bedpan that you could sit in.
Yeah, it was odd. Kids.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
Gatto walked in and he was like, I'm going to take a shit in here. He like took all his pants off. And then
you can say shit in that context. Just we have the running.
Okay. Just so you know. He said he was going to take a shit in there.
Great. And then, he was like, shit, I'm going to take a shit.
Yeah, can't say the first
one. Okay.
Oh, wow. Really? Okay. Yeah. So, and then I think Sal was like, oh my God, what have you done? It's like, and he said it smelled bad, but he was like, no, I didn't shit. I just farted. Oh.
He made a conscious decision not to shit. He could have, and he chose not to. Yes.
He was like,
that's control.
What did this show become?
Right. In the moment when he was sitting there with his pants on his ankle in the middle of this turquoise ring.
He was like, I'm not going to go all the way.
Let me think.
Sal's already peed his pants in like a escape the room thing.
Save it for the series finale.
Yeah.
He just peed in the forest too, didn't he?
He peed in the forest. Yeah. And he also doesn't pee much. A thing about Sal, he talks about this in his stand-up, like he doesn't pee much.
Oh. He peed in the woods that day.
I know.
It's crazy, yeah.
He pees when he has to.
What about
levels of sweat and shart also, by the way? That when Gatto said that, it was fantastic.
Yeah. That was one of his sweatiest moments. That was one of Joe's sweatiest.
Is there a crew member who farts a lot?
I don't know. No, everyone's pretty respectful of each other. Like, especially like in a show like this. You know this more than anyone, Danny. It's like close quarters.
Yes.
And everyone really, I think, has respect for each other. It's just like you leave the room if you're going to do that.
Usually you can get outside.
Yeah, we're outdoors a lot too.
Fart it up. Which is nice. You know, you have a walk away lunch sometimes.
Okay. Yeah. Then I apologize for what happened when I was there and as Vanilla the Clown.
Yeah, Vanilla. Vanilla.
No, no, no. You're not Vanilla. I was farting as the Clown. You're Vanilla Clown. No.
He takes white shits.
Of course he does.
That's funny. What do you think? Your shit's not white?
Also, back to Krav Maga. I forget who said it. I want to say it was Q. Correct me if I'm wrong. There's a line in the show that we put in a few times, and it's just a way to get lines in, but it's whenever a guy starts a sentence with, I'm a little sluggish, and then they'll make an excuse. It's like, excuse me, I'm a little sluggish, and then they'll give the reason. And what was it for Q in this one? Like, I'm a little sluggish today.
I would be a lot quicker if I didn't have this UTI.
My UTI is just slowing me down.
I have a UTI, yeah.
And like, it's in a bunch of episodes where you'll just hear the guy be like, sorry, I'm a little bit tired today.
Yeah, there's always a reason.
Followed by something, yeah.
I thought it was, I think I wrote that one because I thought it would be, usually guys don't talk about UTIs.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's rare for men to have.
It's harder for a man to
have. But it can happen.
Yeah.
And I thought it would be a... It'd be fun for him to say that.
Yeah.
shout out to if you have a UTI.
And you're a dude.
Shout out to my dudes with the UTIs.
Cranberry juice.
Yeah, cranberry juice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sound God says get some cranberry
juice. Sorted right out. Mm-hmm. I heard.
DTF with my UTI. But we've been wanting to do pantsing on the show for so long. And
that is true.
This is the way we actually really wanted to do it.
Yeah.
We wanted to do it where there's like a conference and a nurse who's like in scrubs. Yeah.
A conference of doctors is what we wanted.
Like a male nurse gets up there and he's like kind of talking and he introduces this Joker to come up to speak. But before he does that, the Joker has to pants him.
Right.
And like what we wanted was... like there to be a fight to pull down the pants. Like he'd have them tied and then he'd be trying. And because the trying to me is even funnier than
the pants. 100%. Succeeding, yeah.
Because he's like, the guy doesn't know about it, all that stuff.
However, the problem that we kept running into was that we didn't want the person to know that they were about to get pants.
Right.
And so this has come up a few times where it's like, well, okay, that's illegal. You guys can't do that. And we're like, yeah, but... it'll be funny with like the right person. So like every now and then we'd like, so if you remember the punishment where Joe had had to do push-ups at MLB Studios, at one point he goes, he asked me and Casey before and he's like, are they going to make me pants this guy? Because they like figured like we maybe vetted a host that was like cool with us and like maybe he would get pantsed. And it wasn't the case. Obviously, he had to do the push-ups at that punishment. But it was just a hard, really hard thing to produce because all the guys were like, if the guy knows he's going to get pantsed, it's going to ruin everything. Because then he's going to be acting, trying to play along with it. And then he's acting on TV and it just ruins it for us. So that's why we've never been able to do pantsing the way we
crack
envisioned.
The pants.
And it would have been the reverse where the Joker would have thought that the guy knew he was being pantsed.
And it would be the reverse. You got to pull down the front of the pants.
Right.
Right.
Well, usually the Joker is like, you know, he would, you know, sometimes we're like, oh, this person isn't in on it, but really they are in on it. Mm-hmm. It would be the other way around where he would think the guy that was getting pants was in on it. And then would find out that he wasn't in on it to make it more awkward, you know?
Yeah.
Can I tell you the first pantsing in the show? Can anybody guess what the first pantsing on the show is?
No.
Danny? I mean, Vanilla?
Mr. Clown?
No, I can't.
Strip High Five?
Ah.
Murr loses, and it's time to take it off, and he doesn't want to, and Joe comes from behind and goes like, ba-boom. Pretty good, huh? You all lost. You all owe me money. I want to also point out back, because as I was asking Vanilla to weigh in, I realized that Q is the Staten Island way of saying vanilla. So it's Vanilla Clown to him. Like when he was introducing it at the thing, I kept hearing him say that. And I've always been a vanilla person. Do you guys say vanilla or vanilla?
Nella.
Vanilla.
Nilla?
Vanilla.
And you're Ella?
Yeah.
Wow, Rihanna over here.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
Wow. I think vanilla is how it's spelled. It's just Vanilla Clown.
Yeah, we're from New York. We mispronounce things sometimes. It clearly, like, you know, this must have happened. You went to, like, college or something. You're trying to impress somebody. You start saying you're vanillas and stuff like that. You know, I get it. The real New Yorkers, we say vanilla and Mario.
Mario.
Names. Mario.
Mario. Yeah. Mario is the wrong is the way
is
that
the, wrong
the rest
way to
of
say
the country says it. We say Mario.
Mario is the way the character pronounces his name, but real Mario is
the character is
Mario.
A Japanese created character.
Right.
I don't think
but
that
the name,
counts.
The name's a name.
No, I know, but
I agree with what you're saying, Casey. Yeah. Real Mario's know it's Mario.
Yeah, real Mario's know it's Mario.
Right.
I don't even know what I said. I'm so messed in the head from
Mario
trying to get it right.
You say Mario? That's like how like the Midwest right. says it, I think. I
mean, the right way is however Wario is said.
I don't think Wario. We should go based on Wario.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I'm sure it's probably like from Italy, like Mario, right?
Like Maria.
Maria, Mario.
Maria, yeah. Mario.
Mario, Mario. I'm Mario. Vanilla, can you ask some questions for Danny Hollis?
Sure. But it's hard for me to get into the Vanilla character because he's a very angry, screaming.
Very angry. Oh, okay.
Yeah, we won't
clown.
Make you go there. That
and I don't really feel that
destroy the
way.
Studio.
Okay. So Verde, go for it.
Remember your first day on set?
Mm-hmm.
What was it like?
Oh, wow. I just moved to New York 8 months ago, 8 months prior.
Right.
And I'd gotten a call from a company that I'd been working for called TV Boy. And like, we need you to be a boom operator for this thing called Mission Uncomfortable.
Right.
And it's like, this is September 2010. And I get there. Actually, a girl from my high school, my graduating high school class was there. And in front of all of these new guys I know, I'm like, oh, I know that girl. I'll go say hi. Go, hey, I'm Danny. Good to see you. She goes, I have no idea who you are. So it started off really well. Me look like an idiot. It was interesting because I met Michael Bergman that day. I'd met him a few times prior, and he looks at me and goes, so do you have any idea how to do this job? No. And he gave me some equipment. I'm like, I don't know how to do any of this. And he sort of ran me through it. It was like very low rate, you know, mm-hmm. because it was a pilot. It was the Mission Uncomfortable pilot. And we were in the Chinese brasserie.
Right.
I had no idea what was going on. I was only living in New York for a few months, and I'm like, yeah, this seems reasonable, like, I didn't even want to be doing production sound. I wanted to write music for movies.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow I failed myself here, totally by accident. and it was good. You know, I did the boom. I did a pretty good job. I had no idea who these guys were. I'm about to be the same age that they were on that shoot. They were all 35 or so. Mm-hmm. I'm about to turn 35. And it was fun. It was confusing because I had no idea what any of this equipment did or how it worked. And I just held the boom near the guy who was talking. That's all I did. And it was very intimidating. Because, you know, it's like a new thing. It's right. like, and you're expected to sort of know what you're doing. And I had no idea what I was doing. But I'm good at pretending mm-hmm. that I know what I'm doing until people realize that I have no clue. And it's funny, Q's tooth fell out of his head. It was like a speed dating thing.
Right.
And his whole tooth just fell out of his head. It was amazing. And there was
out
another.
Of his oh, head
and they were taking food off people's plates. We did right. two bits at this place. And it was funny, even though I had no idea what was going on. I was like doing the BTS that used to be like done by like a boom instead of like wireless mics, so then no money.
Right.
And yeah, it was good. We did the Costco one a couple of days later with Mustache.
Right.
Yeah.
Can you tell the story of the when we were at the Jersey Shore?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know it.
I'll try to keep it concise. So we go to the Jersey Shore. I'm like now the A2 on the show. The show's Impractical Jokers now, I think.
Yep.
It's like 2011.
What's A2?
A2 is, so there's an audio supervisor and then there's the A2. So
the audio second, yeah.
It's the second person. It's like they take care of miking all the guys. And generally on our show, the A2 records the BTS and the audio supervisor records the guy doing the bit. Anyway, so we go to Jersey Shore and I'm very excited. This is like a, you know, it's still new to me. I've been in the city for a year. I know Casey for like 6-7 months. We played shows together. And we get out to the Jersey Shore and basically, I think Casey, you didn't have a room.
Yeah, they didn't, like early in the
they
show.
They didn't pay for a room. We were like sleeping on a couch. And I was like, oh no, well, I'm in the tech department. So like they gave me a room and I have an extra bed. So I'm like, just take this key and you can sleep in the other bed. No problem. No big deal. And so that was the first night. You know, we did a bunch of shooting on Saturday, and I was very excited. Oh, I'm really making this happen. And then so that night, a bunch of people are going down to the Jersey Shore to have some drinks. And the Michael Bergman and some of the other guys, Andrew Lane, saw me leave with this crew to go, like, have some drinks. And we had, like, an 8 or 9 a.m. Call time the next day. So obviously they're like, this 25-year-old is definitely going to mess this up. Like, he's going to – we know what he's going to do. It'll be fine. But – so I go out with the crew, and the next thing I know, I'm in my bed in all my clothes, and like the audio equipment's on my other bed, and Michael Bergman, the old A1 of the show, bursts in the room, screaming, "What are you doing? The van's waiting. It's like 20 minutes past the call time. We need to get the hell out of here. What's going on?" I'm like, "Oh, my phone just whatever." I don't know what happened. He knows what happened, but like. So he's like, "We need to get the hell out of here." It's like, you know, the call time was 9. It's like 9:20 at this point. And I have to pack up all my stuff because we're leaving that day straight from set. And I like go to the bathroom and I'm like peeing and I hear him yelling up the door. "We got to go. What are you doing?" Still screaming at me. And it turns out that Michael Bergman, my boss, was looking around for me because I just didn't show up the call time or like to like where the vans were leaving. And he's asking around and Casey goes, "Oh, I have the key to his room." He got the key to his room. So I had no idea why my boss was now in my room screaming at me, but I later found out from Casey that he's like, "No, I have the key. I just let him in there." So that was my first getting screamed and yelled at by Michael Bergman. It wasn't my last.
I remember you coming to the van. Like, Bergman, like, came back. You were on your way. And I remember you coming to the van, and I was like, "Ugh, I would hate to be him right now." Like, I felt really bad for you.
It was bad.
I've seen you disheveled, and that was like disheveled.
It was prime disheveled.
Beyond. Yeah. And how was that day? Do you remember? It must have been awful, but like.
So I got in the van.
I think we shot the boardwalk.
Joe
put like someone's foot, his toe in someone's mouth, or yeah. He put someone's toe in his mouth.
Yeah.
That'd be a weirder bit.
When I got in the van, I got laughed at by Andrew Lane, the owner of the company. He saw me. We like met eyes in the rearview mirror, and he just lost it because he thought this was really funny. And I get it. And we got to set. I've never tried so hard in my entire life to do a good job. Like right. Through still sort of being drunk, I'm like, "I'm gonna mic the hell out of these guys today. Like, this is gonna sound so good." I'm like, anybody need anything, Michael? You could like just to be like, don't think this is a joke. I'm sorry. Like. I do care. Like,
and maybe that made the difference. You know what I mean? Yeah. Maybe they were like, "Hey, you know, if he could get up and do a good job after this, yeah. He's probably a good guy." And so yeah. Maybe, you know, sometimes I think that making mistakes helps you show your true colors, but then how you could overcome those true colors. I don't know.
And now there's a picture of you in a museum because of this show.
Correct. So yeah.
You made it.
I know. I'm still waiting for my friend from people I know from home and Facebook to acknowledge that this is happening, but it's not a lot. like, come on, guys.
Gotta check out that Staten Island Museum, guys.
Yeah, I know.
Also, though, to the best of your knowledge, Danny, did you invent the cup? Is this like the Hollis cup?
I don't think so.
Was it your idea, at least on our
side? You've put mics in a lot of weird places.
Yeah.
But that magic coffee cup that we bring, the guys, when you see them out, they're always holding a coffee cup in the park, and then they put it in people's face so that we can get some audio out there.
I think you perfected it.
I'll say this. Someone else came up with a cup idea. But I think I did I really took time to make this stupid
cup. You wanted to do so good.
That, like, you could take it outside and it won't sound windy. Like, it sounds good. It's robust. You can throw it. Like, it's good.
A robust blend.
I didn't come up with the idea.
Are you sure maybe somebody didn't put a mic in an espresso cup? And then you said, okay, let's make it a coffee cup.
Perhaps.
I'd say go with that.
Yeah. Well, espressos are small.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. That's incredible.
They make it sound all tinny.
What's the weirdest place you think you've hit a microphone?
Hit a microphone?
Like, you've put them in plant mics, and you've put
them... Yeah. I think we did some, like, massage chairs and stuff like that.
Right, that's
always
weird.
A little... It feels weird. You're, like, shoving them between the cracks. Yeah. I don't know.
Any stories of people finding mics?
Yeah, but I wasn't there for it, actually.
Oh, like, what's that?
I left for, like, the beach, and someone was taking over for me. And we have these, like, table signs we put them on, and it was a bit at a library where they were supposed to shush people.
Yep.
And I just remember that, like, when I talked to the guy who covered me, and he said people were picking him up and were like, what is in this? Like, because it's like, we made them a little better. They've gotten better since then. But, like, if you just pick the thing up, this, like, little triangle table sign, it's just rattling around in there.
And they're shaking it, breaking hundreds of dollars worth of equipment.
Thousands, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, quite a bit of money.
We got it like that. Nice.
Yeah. So, well, you know, these days.
One more question. What are the best, breaking equipment stories? Like, I know Murr jumped in the water one time with a mic that wasn't waterproof.
That was amazing. That was probably the best one. I mean,
that was at Milkbeard the Pirate?
Yeah. Like,
so the problem with that is he was wearing the wig, too. And that went in the water, which is gross because there's no way to wash a wig,
and we weren't allowed to, really.
And he had to wear it now for the rest of the season, and he broke a mic, and I think the earpiece too.
He had the earpiece. He had the earwig, which was $1,600. He had the wig, which is I don't know how much.
Priceless, really.
$7,000.
It's sure priceless.
Yeah, it's probably $10,000 jump into the water, I guess.
Wow.
We sat there and watched him. I go, well, what am I going to do? Like, he's my boss. I can't tell him to not destroy everything.
That's so funny. Any other breaks like that?
Not that I can think of.
It's usually probably water damage, though, right?
Yeah, but we're pretty good about making sure that they're going to... you know, there's like waterproof mics and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Generally pretty good about making sure they have the right stuff to do.
And so it's crazy. The other thing about this show is, like, again, one day we're in a grocery store, the next day you're miking up the guys in a chopper.
Yeah.
Like, what are some of the craziest things that you're just like, cool, guys, now I'm miking up Noah Syndergaard in a baseball stadium.
Yeah.
We have to worry about thousands of fans screaming and all this other stuff.
It's usually like logistics problems. Like when they want to put the Roosevelt Island tram.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the tram goes all the way from Roosevelt Island in the middle of the East River, right?
Yeah, and it's like the two places that filmed on that were, like, us and, like, the Spider-Man movie.
Yeah, and it's a big hassle to do that, and it's, like, it takes a lot of preparation and just sort of figuring out, like, and we have to go there and test prior to make sure, like, all the gear is going to be able to go the distance.
Right.
And then stuff like helicopter, like I mentioned. It's just, like... It's less worrying about how good the sound is. Like, you have to be able to understand the guys, but it's more of just making sure everything works the entire time.
Yeah,
frequencies and they can talk to each other the entire time.
Right.
Like, for the helicopter, Gatto told me, he's like, Sal needs to find out on the helicopter that he has to jump. That's very important.
Mm.
Oh, boy. So it's mainly problems like that, which are more fun to solve than making it sound good.
Yeah. That's because we've been on planes with Murr.
Yeah.
That must have been crazy. And then... Also, even stuff like bog, like in the Bog Monster, that must be crazy. But that's typical underwater, right?
That was rough. Oh, was you put it in the helmet for Sal?
Yeah.
But then we had Jay Miller, who was the other monster, and we put a mic on him. I forgot where we put it. It failed completely. And I had to go tell our executive producer, Pete. I'm like, it just didn't work. I don't know what to tell you.
It still frightens me when he pops out. I've watched it a million times, but it still frightens me when he jumps out.
That was,
as the second bog monster.
That was a rough one because to get to that location was like a 15-20 minute airboat ride.
Yeah.
And so if you forgot anything back on land, like any little piece, you know, and then it was on a schedule of like tours coming through. So
I'm so glad I was not there.
Yeah, and Jay Miller's in a bog for like 3 hours.
Oh my God, he must have been so pruny. Oh, gross.
I mean, aside from that, he must just have so many like organisms going in his pee hole.
Yeah, but he had them before.
That's true.
Didn't they wear a condom under there just to protect it?
Sal does.
Okay. All the time,
really?
Right?
He always wears a condom.
Softy?
Yep. Jay never does.
Danny, the classic worst one was Jurassic Park, though, right?
Yeah, Jurassic Park.
Because it was like just like 100 miles of cable.
Well, It was this show. I love this show, but we try to get a lot done in a short amount of
time.
That's
not going to keep you from getting fired. Yeah. You said the wrong thing here. Right.
Pete, I love this show.
Is Pete McPartland listening to this?
I don't think so.
Okay, good. No, but we had only a certain amount of time in Orlando. And so prior to one of our park bits in the park, we had to basically run all the cable before the park opened for Jurassic Park. So that's 5 a.m. till 9 a.m., basically running just miles and miles of cable. And then after the audio department runs the cable, we had to still have the video department run probably, 3,000, 4,000 feet of cable back and forth, because we had two separate control rooms, one for like the beginning of the ride and one for the end of the ride, and you have to link those together. And then once the audio team was done with our cabling at around 9 or 10, we broke off to go shoot, I think, two bits. I forget what they were. One was Have You Seen My Wife?
Yeah,
one,
that was asking people on the street.
Yeah. So we broke off to go do that. And then
Transformers was, I think, the other.
Yeah, I think that was the first day. Yeah. And then, so once we finished the sort of parkish bits, we like went home and went to bed and then woke up at 4 a.m. in the morning to actually like shoot the bit. So it was like, that whole trip was just, it was rough.
Because we were also partying a lot. Like, we were having a lot of fun too, but it was like, people getting up early.
Well, yeah, me and you were in barnyard hell.
Yeah,
of editing that barnyard song over and over again and like trying to find people to do the voices on our crew and stuff. Yeah, that was
it was like there was a whole thing where we had a version where it was just like barnyard, like wow, and then Joe was like, no, I can't say barnyard, you wow, it has to say yay, and I was like, okay, barnyard, yay, I feel like switch it.
Try to
do the dance, Q.
Barnyard, come down to the barnyard, barnyard, yeah.
If you told me I would have spent a week in Universal Studios and never went to the Simpsons Land, I wouldn't have believed you. But we're working on a barnyard song, looking at like the Simpsons Village, like out the window, pining for it.
Never went to Moe's?
Never went to Moe's.
I went. I got to go.
So good.
And I snuck over.
Close enough.
Well, Danny, thank you so much. Appreciate it, buddy. I mean, thanks for coming on. I can't believe we haven't had you on sooner. Thank you for the beers, although I didn't partake.
Well,
but
thank you for having me.
Cheers to you.
To the sound god.
That's right. And thank you, Joe, for coming back. Danny Green, a vanilla crown.
One day he will have a vanilla crown.
See, I did it again. I did it again. Vanilla cloud to vanilla clown.
Oh, wow. The vanilla king crown. One day.
He would ride in a vanilla cloud through the skies, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. 100%. With his split vanilla tongue.
Oh, it's split? All right. That's it. Bye, everybody.
Vanilla clown.
James McCarthy. Bye, guys.